Hi, welcome to the audio podcast edition of Gay USA. I'm Mary Nelson, an associate producer, Bill Ballman. This week's Gay USA was recorded in New York City on July 26th, 2017. I want to remind you about our website, gayusatv.org. That's gayusatv.org. You can watch a video of the show each week there, as well as learn more about our broadcast, where we're available in different parts of the country, and our YouTube posting, as well as bios on Ann, Andy, and myself, and Chris Cooper, sometimes substitute host on our show. Right now, here's Ann Northrup and Andy Hum with this week's LGBT News. Enjoy.
And we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup.
And in the spirit of nonpartisanship, let's talk about our monster of a president, as he always does when he's in trouble. Trump drops a bomb announcing a ban on transgender service members.
Of course, we're recording this on Wednesday afternoon, and by the time you see it, he may have done six other things or rescinded this or whatever. But at this moment in time, he has ruled out trans service members. Meanwhile, his newest pet, Anthony Scaramucci, the Mooch, the new communications director, once called himself a gay rights activist.
No more. Trump's anti-LGBT judicial appointments are being confirmed by the Republican Senate.
While anti-transgender legislation advances in Texas, several states are making progress on transgender issues this week.
See, we have some good news.
It's a balance. It's always a balance.
You know how North Carolina had that horrible bill and then passed another horrible bill? Well, on transgender and gay rights and human rights in general, well, they're being sued over it.
And we're sorry to report on the death of Orlando, Florida icon Billy Maynes, a gay activist and journalist. He was only 45.
Yes. India has gotten its first out transgender judge and may reconsider its ban on sodomy.
The Speaker of the House in the Philippines is endorsing civil partnerships for same-sex couples.
Yet another study finds that no HIV transmission occurs when viral load is undetectable.
The International AIDS Society is meeting in Paris this week, and there are a lot of headlines out of that, so we'll go over some of those to tell you what the latest news is. And the oldest player,
apparently, according to press reports,
in the WNBA, came out, as did a young pop singer.
Okay.
But, of course, all eyes this afternoon, anyway, on the White House, where President Donald Trump, in a series of three tweets this morning, this is how policy is now made in the United States, announced that he was banning transgender people from serving in the United States military.
I don't think that's going to hold up in court if it's just a tweet.
Well, presumably it will be followed by something more substantial, although if it is just meant to distract us from the Sessions blow-up or the health care fight,
it could disappear. It's meant to distract us from the noose tightening around his neck.
Yes.
As Robert Mueller looks into his financial dealings. He's running a criminal enterprise. He always has. And once somebody looks at the books of this private company that didn't have a board to oversee it, they're going to find out that he's a crook.
Well, I'm going to keep repeating that we are taping this on Wednesday afternoon, I assume a lot more information will come out in the next 24 to 48 hours. But you have to look at the fact that Representatives Vicky Hartzler and Stephen King, Missouri and Iowa, right-wingers, tried last week to pass an amendment in the House to forbid medical care for trans military members, failed, much to everyone's shock, and then swore that they were going to try again in various ways. And I think they just trotted right off to the White House and Mike Pence and got the ear of Donald Trump and said, you know, these people, it's costing billions of dollars for their care, and it's so disruptive in the military. And then he sends out these tweets at 6 o'clock in the morning.
The interesting thing is the pushback that Trump is getting from people you might not expect, like John McCain.
John McCain, Senator Richard Shelby of Alabama, Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah.
I was just about to mention them.
Well, I beat you to it.
Okay.
But right-wing Republican senators, well, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is, they have to choose between their lifelong fealty to the military and this moron in the White House, and they choose the military.
And the question, and to update everybody, I mean, look, there has been open transgender service of people who were already in for a little while.
Yes.
Under Obama, while.
But they did not allow
transgender recruits to join, and that was being delayed for 6 months, just as of a couple of weeks ago.
Transgender people have served in the military since time immemorial.
Since the Revolutionary War.
And in the last few years, there has been a debate about open service. And there have been various studies done. The Williams Institute says there are 15,000 trans people serving in the military. The Rand Institute did a study that said there could be as many as 7,000. There are 250 evidently serving openly who have identified themselves. So part of the nonsense this morning was idiot reporters going on the air and saying, there are 250 trans military members. No, there are thousands of trans military members. You're just not up on all the latest information. And the debate has been about open service and medical care. And the Obama administration Defense Department approved open service and approved medical care. The right-wing Republicans last week were trying to stop the care after failing to even be able to propose throwing people out. But they have succeeded in, and General Mattis has been on our side. And
was calling members of Congress and saying, don't pass this anti-transgender amendment.
Right.
And they didn't.
But did agree to a compromise delay on new recruits while they studied it a little
more. So there's some talk of Democrats working with some of these surprising Republicans and attaching something to another bill that would allow open service by transgender people in the military.
I think there's a high possibility they could pass something like that. But what I'm supposing, and this is where you get to check our speculative powers, I am supposing that Trump will actually back down on some of this.
No.
I may be Pollyanna for thinking that, but the blowback is so universal.
As I often have to write on Facebook when describing things that he has done, there is no bottom. I mean, look at the thing with the Boy Scouts this week. I mean, it was apocalyptically. This was our Hitler with Hitler Youth. I mean, the worst thing about him giving that horrible political speech in front of the Boy Scouts was that most of the Boy Scouts were cheering.
Yes.
And that was chilling to look at that.
Yes.
As anybody who remembers the Third Reich.
And you know how Trump seethes about things. And he was very unhappy about Chelsea Manning being pardoned or what exactly was what Obama
commuted.
Sentence commuted. The fact that she was getting out of prison, he was very unhappy about that.
Even though this was the longest serving whistleblower in history.
Exactly.
In prison.
And really didn't hurt anybody and revealed a lot of important stuff. But I think that plays into this. I think his seething about Iran is ongoing. He's still looking for ways to get around.
Well, folks, brace yourself for the big show, because the big show is going to be World War III. This maniac has his hand on the trigger and is ready to go to nuclear war with Iran. And quite frankly, we may end up that way with Russia after all that's going on. in terms of the conflicts there. So the conflicts in the Middle East, the conflicts in North Korea, everywhere, there's no bottom.
None. I'm also happy about the language that all these senators are using about this. They're calling it disgusting. They're calling it outrageous. They're not holding back on their condemnatory language. And I think that's a good thing. There was nothing measured about their response.
And, you know, there's obviously a part of his base and the religious right that hates transgender people or uses transgender people to, get, you know, keep their organizations going.
We see it across the board.
But I don't think that's the majority of his base on transgender. I don't think they care.
Well, it's an excellent opportunity for temperature taking, because would we have predicted that Richard Shelby of Alabama would be standing up for trans people?
No, I didn't even think McCain would.
No. Or Orrin Hatch or any of them.
McCain, who, of course, on the health care thing, who gives this, you know, wonderful speech about bipartisanship and working together, and then has a chance to vote no on moving forward with this idiot plan and on health insurance, and votes yes.
I have to mention something that came out of left field connected to this, though, this week. A story popped up. It was covered extensively in Newsweek and other major news organizations, but it seemed so unlikely that it's hard for us to give it any credence or think that it's real, but it's out there in the mainstream media, and this is about a fighting force of, I guess we used to call them mercenaries, but they're independent fighters who are supposedly fighting ISIS in Syria, and they are an LGBT group.
It is hard to believe, because the attitudes towards homosexuality among most of these nations, on whatever side you're on, is bad.
The Queer Insurrection and Liberation Army, initials TEQILA, fighting with the Kurds against ISIS in Syria, seems, if this isn't a hoax, I don't know what is.
But it was picked up in a lot of
there.
Places. Yes.
Big article in Newsweek, if you want to take a look
fake
at it.
Fake news.
Well, if I were to call anything fake news, that would be my candidate for this week.
All right. Well.
And what about Scaramucci, the gay activist? Where does he play into this?
Anthony Scaramucci has in the past described himself as a gay rights activist because he advocates for gay rights. We don't know anything about his sexuality. But he, you know, he took a number of liberal positions. He was he totally believes in climate change. He fought the wall. It goes on and on and on and on. So he has taken down all these tweets. But but whatever he believes, his number one agenda is I love Donald, the president. I love Donald Trump.
I love him.
Love, 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 love. He says it all the time.
I love the president.
He's a slick, smoother, you know, version of Sean Spicer.
All right. And then I think we should hopscotch the rest of the Trump
stuff. But he's worked with the Human Rights Campaign in the past.
Yes, he has. And he was anti-Trump a year ago.
Yes.
And has donated to Democrats,
including
Hillary.
So was Kellyanne Conway. Not a year ago, but a year and a half ago.
Shocking. All right. And let's investigate Jeff Sessions.
Okay.
The Democrats are all going out there and saying, well, I don't know what to say. I was against him. I don't want him. But I support him against the president. I don't want him, period. Here's what he's doing this week.
Oh, God.
The Department of Justice is submitting a brief to the Second Circuit Federal Court.
That's us.
Yes, it's
here,
in New York.
Here in New York.
In a case called, hold on, I have it here, Zarda versus Altitude Express. This is a late skydiver who, before his death, was fired by his employer for being gay.
In 2010. This is an old case.
Yeah. So the estate went to court, lost.
It's all about, they want to invoke Title VII, which is against sex discrimination in federal law.
Yeah,
and they want
the
to
Civil
say
Rights
that
Act.
And they want to say that this applies to sexual orientation discrimination.
Right.
Now, the Second Circuit, because of a precedent here, said no. Other circuits have been saying yes. This is all working its way up to the Supreme Court.
Right.
And now we're going to get a taste of where the Trump administration
stands on this. The Second Circuit is going to hear the case again in its larger panel, en banc. And so the Justice Department, which had no need to weigh in on this, they're not involved in the case, but gratuitously they are submitting a brief against us, They are telling the Second Circuit they should not be interpreting laws against sex discrimination as including sexual orientation or gender identity, even though that's not even in this case.
And we had to listen to reporters from the New York Times, like Maggie Haberman, saying, Trump is, you know, unusually progressive on gay issues.
Front page stories.
For a Republican. All this nonsense. Mike Signorelli, to his credit, you know, has been after her repeatedly. And, you know, you see her on television all the time, and, she gives some good analysis and things like that on some other issues. But she was wrong on this. And we tried to tell her, and she never, wrote a story about how bad he is.
I'm going to go after another New York Times reporter a little later, but Okay. Let's finish the Trump stuff. In the legal arena still, the Senate has confirmed the horrendously anti-gay John Bush to a seat on the Sixth Circuit Court.
By a vote of 51 to 47.
51 Republicans to 47 Democrats.
Right. That John McCain wasn't there for that, I guess.
On the other hand, just to keep us guessing, Richard Grenell, out gay employee of the Bush administration, is going to be nominated as ambassador to Germany.
Some people think he's just messing with Angela Merkel.
And Grenell is not a liberal.
No, he's totally pro-Trump. He's totally conservative. He's 50 years old. He was an early supporter of Trump in the presidential campaign. So he's being rewarded with a job. If he can get past the Family Research Council.
We told you last week.
What are they going to do in the hearings on that?
Look, they can overlook stuff if it's a Trump supporter.
There was a reporter for the Toronto Star, Daniel Dale, who said Grenell is the first presidential employee he has ever had to block for incessant trolling. So Grenell's not a good guy.
No.
He's just homosexual.
And we told you last week that Attorney General Sessions had spoken to the Alliance Defending Freedom and promised them that soon he would be issuing the guidelines on religious liberty policies for the federal departments. Well, the ACLU has now filed a Freedom of Information request to find out what the plans are for this religious liberty guidelines.
And the Trump administration continues with its total anti-science juggernaut by appointing this Sam Clovis, who has no background in hard sciences, or any policy experience with food or agriculture, to be the Department of Agriculture's Undersecretary for Research, Education, and Economics, the top science position. No experience. This is draining the swamp.
Scott Pruitt continues to get rid of all environmental regulations. Zinke at Interior.
Parks are being turned over to oil exploration.
Coal mining. And Betsy DeVos, the education secretary, was in Denver last week addressing ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, the one that writes all the right-wing laws at the state level.
Yep.
And she was there to pump up the charter school movement. Hundreds of people protested outside, but Betsy stayed strong.
And then we have the Democratic response. You have Chuck Schumer and a couple of others standing there in the countryside in Virginia, I guess it was.
Yeah.
Saying, we're going to give a better deal to the American people. It was so limp. I mean, if they can't come out with bold things that people can understand on health care, it's got to be single payer. You can't just say, and we're going to have a $15 minimum wage. That's dealing with the margins. I'm for it, but it's dealing with the margins. You've got to restructure this economy for people if it's going to work for everybody, and you've got to be for progressive taxation, and you've got to stand up to Wall Street, which... I mean, they sort of allude to this in a minor way, but Chuck Schumer sold the Democratic Party to Wall Street as the senator from Wall Street. So, I mean, Democrats, it's not enough to be anti-Trump.
Still a little more anti-Trump would help, too, to explain to people that their environment is being ruined, their public school system, their health care, everything else.
But they're afraid of their donors. I mean, Cory Booker was at this press conference. He's a big proponent of charter schools.
Yeah. And the health care debate continues. Hundreds of people are getting arrested in demonstrations at Congress, including our city council member, Cory Johnson.
I think we have a picture
of him being led away in handcuffs. Yes, there he is. So congratulations, people from Housing Works, ACT UP, Rise and Resist.
People were in the Senate chamber when this vote was going down, shouting, you know.
Shame.
Yes, they were all, of course, arrested, and they made sure that they weren't allowed to be photographed.
The one thing that is positive is that in a House committee, they restored budget funds for HIV programs and sex ed, as opposed to the Trump administration proposal to cut all that.
Right.
I think I'm done with them.
Should we go to the states?
Yes, let's go to Texas, because that's so much fun.
All right, so you knew that, as we've told you, the Texas legislature was called into special session, basically at the behest of the horribly anti-gay Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, to consider these anti-transgender bills, anti-transgender, anti-gay bills.
Because the governor, Abbott, is scared of Patrick running against him for governor, so he went along with calling the special session to do the really, really bad bills.
And as expected, the Texas, both houses are controlled by Republicans, but the Senate, as expected, voted 21 to 10 to pass this horrible bill. And the question is whether the Speaker of the House, Joe Strauss, a moderate Republican, more business-oriented, will stop this in his chamber.
And businesses, corporations have been showing up to vehemently oppose these bills. But the thing that actually surprised me and impressed me was that standing on the Capitol steps in Austin, Texas, as the Senate was debating and passing this bill, standing there on the Capitol steps to oppose this bill were law enforcement officers.
Because they're being asked to be the bathroom police.
Yes.
And they're going to have to bust into toilets and say, show me your birth certificate or show me your genitals or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. And so.
And yet the Senate still passed the bill.
Yes, they did.
I also want to elaborate on a story we started last week. A transsexual woman who's suing Phillips 66 for sex discrimination for rescinding a job offer. We talked about the company that was hired to investigate her qualifications as having Googled her and found out she was transsexual and reporting that to the company. I think there was a little implication there maybe that she was trying to hide something, but in fact she had turned over all the documents. She wasn't hiding anything. She's totally open. And the company that investigated her recommended her for the job. It's just that in their investigation, court records, tax records, that became apparent. Record she had handed over, so I just don't want to leave any implication that she was trying to do anything wrong.
And as we told you at the top of the show, North Carolina's current anti-LGBT law is being challenged by Lambda Legal Defense in a new suit. Now, this is the one that Governor Roy Cooper, the Democrat, elected basically on a platform of getting rid of all this stuff, signed. So
I think they've sort of amended, the ACLU and Lambda have sort of amended their suit. They had an ongoing suit against HB2, the original anti-trans law, and then when the state repealed that law and replaced it with this bad one, they have now incorporated that new law into the suit they had against HB2.
Right. Now, you know how Tennessee passed this law which said, a man means a man, and a woman means a woman, and whatever it says, and that's the law. But and they hoped to use this. It was kind of an indirect attack on us, but they wanted to use this to stop certain rights for LGBT people and married marriages. Married couples.
So
there was a couple that...
Four lesbian couples sued.
And their suit was dismissed because they said, look, the law is the law. You're married. These are your kids. Everything. There's no problem. So you haven't suffered any harm. But we're taking this as a victory.
Definitely taking it as a victory because the decision, even though it dismissed the suit, said you are entitled to equal treatment under the law. You just, this new law that was passed has not harmed you. It's just nonsense. But so we're throwing out your suit because you are being treated equally. If if the state manages to not treat them equally, they'll go back to court.
And it was interesting following up on, you know, using Title VII and all these other kinds of things to cover us. In Michigan, LGBT groups are asking the Michigan Civil Rights Commission to clarify that the state, that since the state has a prohibition on sex discrimination, that that covers people who are under sexual orientation and gender identity. But so they're trying to get a ruling out of them because they're having they're not going to get a bill out of the legislature.
Well, good news for Michigan. The Corrections Department has agreed to provide medical care for transgender inmates in the corrections system.
Yeah, there were a couple of things like this. The Minnesota Department of Education has an advisory council that voted to approve something called Safe and Supportive Schools for Transgender and Gender Nonconforming Students. So, as a
but the biggest shocker, New Jersey.
Well,
Governor Chris Christie signed two bills that are pro-trans.
One requires the state to give guidance to public schools about policies regarding transgender students, including using the restroom aligned with their gender identity. And the second prohibits state-licensed hospitals, health providers, et cetera, from refusing service to an individual because they're transgender. Chris Christie, with a 15% approval rating, he did it. And Delaware, the governor there, John Carney, issued a directive for the Education Department to draft anti-discrimination policies to protect LGBTQ students in the state's school, public and charter schools. So while all this is happening nationally that is horrible, there are great pockets of decent people who are trying to do the right thing and doing the right thing.
In Rhode Island, the governor signed a no conversion therapy for minors bill. And in Alabama, at Samford University, which is a Christian school, the school has turned down a $3 million donation from the Alabama Baptist Convention because the convention demanded that the school reject the LGBT group on campus.
Well, it's not even an LGBT group. It's just a group that says, can't we talk about this issue? We have to be able to talk about this issue. It's just a discussion group about the issue, and that was too much for the Southern Baptist Convention.
But the school stood up to them.
They did.
In Allentown.
Because their students aren't going to put up with this anymore.
Right, you know, exactly.
They're saying, come on.
Exactly. Well, that is what makes...
We don't hate gay people.
Well, this may be what kills...
Maybe Boy Scouts do, but we don't.
How old were those Boy Scouts? That's what I want to know. Are they 10-year-olds who are just, you know, cheering nonsensically? Are they 17-year-olds?
The Boy Scouts, which were so concerned for generations for protecting them from homosexuals, won't protect them from this monster. This pussy-grabbing monster.
Exactly. I was thinking that, but I wasn't going
to
say it.
Well, it has to be said.
Okay.
All right.
In Arkansas, the right wing has not given up. They are submitting signatures for a public vote on an anti-trans bathroom bill.
And, you know, we can't pass anything good in Pennsylvania statewide, although they have a good governor who's done some executive orders. But Allentown, Pennsylvania did vote to protect youth from conversion therapy unanimously.
All right. My next favorite story of the week is in Kentucky, Grant County, Kentucky, where there's a guy who put together a theme park called the Ark Encounter. This is Noah's Ark, and he thought he was going to make a lot of money in this, and he wasn't getting very far. So his new thing is he's lit it up at night with rainbow lights.
Take back. The rainbow is his theme. The rainbow is from the Bible, and it's God's, what is it? God's
creation. Taking back symbol. God's creation.
Oh, I thought it was like God's symbol. I'm not going to do this to you again.
Well, yeah, something like that. So gay people are saying, hip, hip, hooray. He's made this religious symbol into a gay thing. And he said, no, no, no. And they said, the hell with you. We're taking it. It's our symbol. And by the way, we're quite interested that you're celebrating God's massacre of the entire population of the world. That's a very interesting development. But meanwhile...
had to be done. Because people had strayed.
But meanwhile, this guy, because he wasn't making any money off this, is turning the ark over to a religious organization. And the county's very upset because they're no longer going to be able to collect taxes on this event. And it's going to.
What do you mean they subsidized it?
Well, whatever. But now it's going to be tax exempt and it's going to screw with their school system.
Well. And
it's a mess.
There's going to be some more money coming out of the Kentucky coffers because
yes.
In the Kim Davis case, you remember her, she wouldn't do same-sex marriages. It went through courts.
Clerk, yeah.
The U.S. District Judge David Bunning, who was handled this case from the beginning, ordered the state to pay $223,000 in fees to the attorneys for the same-sex couples that she gave all the trouble to. The other side is appealing that, but there it goes.
Yep.
In Kentucky, the Republican Party county chair was arrested for indecent exposure after an incident in a public bathroom. Now, he's in a department store. This is a right-wing Republican. He was doing the under the stall thing with the rubbing the foot and all this kind of stuff. But the reason I'm bringing this story is up because he's the Republican county chair for Letcher County. Had to say
that's
that.
That's a bit much. Well, I'm sorry to see that the out lesbian police chief of Minneapolis has
yes.
been forced to resign, Janae Hartou, there
yes.
in the middle, because of the horrible things, the incidents with the Minneapolis police. They killed Philandro Castile. They killed the...
Well, that was a suburban police force, right?
Were they this was part of... I could be wrong.
Yeah.
And then this Australian woman, and it's all just pilot. And there was another incident, and this woman is just...
So they fired the coach.
They did. So she's out.
He is out. Worried about what's going on in Anchorage, where these fringe groups have submitted enough signatures, although it hasn't been certified, to get on the ballot an anti-transgender ballot measure for the fall. We will see about that. And we have another case of a bridal boutique in Pennsylvania.
It's the same one, the second time.
Well...
The WW Bridal Boutique in Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania. Oh, wait. Do you have...
Yes.
Did
no,
you
that's
say...
It.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
A lesbian couple comes in, wants to look at wedding dresses, bridal gowns, and they get told by the clerk, oh, I'm sorry, we're a Christian establishment. We're not going to serve you.
Yep. We don't believe in that. Our faith doesn't let it. And so, look, their only recourse was to complain about this online and try to embarrass them.
Because there's no non-discrimination
law. But they're beyond embarrassment, right? Yeah. There is no law that protects them.
Well,
you invoke Title VII.
Also beyond embarrassment is Denise Grady, reporter for the New York Times, who wrote what I thought was a gratuitous piece a few days ago in the paper. They now run these columns by reporters that sort of behind-the-scenes meditation on a story. And for some reason, she's writing about the decision of the paper to publish the name of Sally Ride's surviving partner, female.
Tam O'Shaughnessy.
Tam O'Shaughnessy. And I don't know what occasioned this look back by her, because she doesn't really explain. But the column is all about how they debated whether to do it, and Sally was very private. And the end of her column says, it all seemed like just what Sally Ride would not have wanted. It was exactly what Sally Ride wanted. She and Tam discussed it before her death. They wrote the obituary notice specifically mentioning the surviving partner, so it would be mentioned. And the New York Times, God damn them, comes out now with this piece that just goes on and on about what a shame it is that they had to write the truth about Sally Ride.
Well, it almost got written wrong, because when the reporter first looked at the release, they almost described O'Shaughnessy as Tam O'Shaughnessy.
Yes, that's the way it was in the copy originally. And I wrote an angry reader comment saying, shame on you for dishonoring these people by writing this egregiously erroneous summary of the way this happened. Shockingly horrible.
Okay.
All right. So, I want to mourn the death in Orlando, Florida, of Billy Maynes. He was a really stunningly smart and sharp columnist.
You might recognize him because he was so visible after the Orlando shootings and the Pulse massacre last year. But he was involved as a journalist, as an activist, and he even ran for mayor of Orlando during a special election in 2005.
He wrote a whole series of columns documenting his fight with his late partner's family over the guy's estate.
They came in and took everything because this was before any kind of certification of relationships and things. The cause of death was apparently pneumonia and organ failure. He did have a partner when he died. But it's a tremendous loss.
45 years old.
Tremendous loss to the Orlando community.
And I want to compliment the Human Rights Campaign, which last week convened a meeting with representatives of 50 historically black colleges and universities to discuss issues of LGBT and race issues and what's going on these campuses. And the presidents of the colleges came out of the meeting saying how moved they were by the conversation and how important they thought it was and how, open and real and long overdue, but really impressive that they would have that meeting.
We also want to note the death of Alicia Brevard, a Marilyn Monroe impersonator in Santa Cruz County, 79 years old. Why was she significant? Death was, by the way, pulmonary fibrosis. She was the first gender transition surgery in America in 1962 in Los Angeles, in America. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, people used to go overseas, used to go to Denmark, things like that. She was a performer. She wanted to be an actress, and she performed in 9 feature films over the years, and on the Partridge Show, and the Dean Martin Show, and things like that. And she was among the first of female impersonators to take hormones and change her gender, according to this professor. All right.
Well, let's segue into international news by then also noting the life and death of Olive Yang in Myanmar, formerly Burma, 90 years old. She was famously...
She was a wild woman. She was a royal... turned warlord. She was sympathetic to the Chinese nationalists, so she got a lot of money in her drug running operation from the CIA. And here's the thing: she was forced into a marriage. She just practically threw things at her husband on the first night and left him. Although she did have a child by him, and she wanted nothing. She took women lovers openly.
She did.
She led armies of men.
And
dressed as a man.
Led armies, led the opium trade in Burma, brokered ceasefires with rebel groups.
Now, the thing is, the story that I read said, we're not sure because in terms of how they use pronouns over there, it's different. But she preferred to be called Uncle Olive.
That was
That was her preferred name.
I want to be called Uncle Olive.
And she spent a lot of time in prison over there because
she dated her brother's girlfriends, actresses, singers, and she ended up as a nun.
Olive Yang, Uncle Olive. What a story! I hadn't heard it before.
That could be a hell of a movie.
That would be a movie.
All right. In other news.
Well, a lot of stuff going on in India.
Yes.
The Supreme Court there has indicated it might take another look back at its judgment that it's okay to ban sodomy. So that could be
And in India, a trans woman, 29 years old, has been appointed a judge in a mediation court. She has a background as a social worker and doing community work.
And they're breaking ground on government housing for the trans community. On the other hand, now this is the Modi government.
And people with HIV and single moms and people with mental and physical disabilities.
This is the Modi government, and they are drafting a transgender bill. And some people in the who are more progressive are saying, well, it doesn't really cover a lot of other civil rights issues and marriage issues, divorce issues, and all these other kinds of things. So not perfect. I mean, the Modi government is conservative. They're doing this. And speaking of that, look what's going on in the Philippines. I mean, you've got the Speaker of the House there introducing a bill to have civil partnerships over there.
And to legalize divorce. They're a very Catholic country.
It's the only country in the world that doesn't have divorce. Now, they only did it in Ireland a few years ago. It was late. But, they didn't have no-fault divorce in New York until a few years ago.
Yeah. In Mexico, in the Michoacan state, I'm making up that pronunciation, they have decided to allow gender change on birth certificates by just filling out a form. You don't have to have proof of surgical intervention, therapies, diagnosis. You self-define. What a concept.
The German president did sign the same-sex, the marriage equality bill. People will be able to marry there as of October at the early, as early as October.
Yeah, they have a few parliamentary details.
And then in Australia, now that, the government has been resisting voting on this in the parliament, now they say, well, let's just have a postal ballot. Let's just send everybody something and something in the mail. Let them do it that way. So we're fighting that.
Because
our
even,
friend Rodney Croom, who's the leader there, says no way.
Because here's the deal. Even though the Australian public and polling vastly support same-sex marriage, we know that once the right wing starts their advertising campaigns and their voter suppression and their messing around, that we cannot count on the vote actually fulfilling those polls. So we want a parliamentary solution to this. In Nepal, they do not have legal same-sex marriage, but a man who is married to a woman fell in love with a third gender person. And
this is okay with the current wife.
The current wife approved the guy marrying Monica. And this is now being considered the first same-sex marriage in Nepal.
The LGBTI leader, Sunil Babu Pant, over there, who's been a member of parliament, says this is a beginning of a new era in Nepal.
The Isle of Man has finalized its non-discrimination law for sexual orientation and gender identity now that it has gotten royal assent.
But since the Israeli government, weighed in on the issue of adoption and is opposing same-sex couples adopting, there was a big protest there. There were thousands of protesters. We have a picture of it. Now the government is requesting more time from the High Court to revise and reevaluate.
Yeah, that's a hell of a crowd at the demo. 10 people got arrested, this has really riled people up. But in Scotland, St. Mary's Episcopal Cathedral is going to offer religious ceremonies for same-sex marriage. And they may be doing gender-neutral bathrooms in the schools.
Human Rights Watch has weighed in on surgery for intersex children and said this has got to stop, and that's a big step forward for them and for the cause of intersex youth who are just parents.
Too much arrogance, too much determinism.
And in Hong Kong, at the book fair, 9 LGBT-related books were removed after it got started, and this has caused a whole thing about censorship over there.
They were labeled obscene, but there's no nudity, there's no nothing that's obscene in them. This is just is the ongoing fight in Hong Kong between the locals who are more progressive and the overbearing Chinese government.
And the Prime Minister of Antigua and Barbuda, Gaston Brown, he was attacking somebody who was attacking his son on an issue and called him an anti-man. Now, this is apparently a phrase used against gay people and others,
it's a little scandal in
Antigua.
I'm
not anti-man. I want to be with a man, okay?
All that for that?
No, well, I'm just saying it's an odd phrase, but we should, this is a prime minister. Let's talk about AIDS.
AIDS news. All right. Big news in AIDS this week comes out of Paris, where the International AIDS Society is holding its annual conference. And a lot of it is about the effectiveness of Truvada as pre and post exposure prophylaxis. A report out of New York found that PrEP use is up and it's good, but people are using fewer condoms, no surprise.
Bad.
But there's a smaller than you might have expected sexually transmitted infection increase with no condom use, because we're always concerned about that. And meanwhile, other reports say that people with undetectable virus are not transmitting the virus.
This means if you have HIV and you are adherent to the drugs, you're not transmitting the virus. They looked at 35 condomless sex acts, and there were no infections to the other partner. So they're saying that condomless sex is safe sex for people
for
who
HIV.
Are people who are undetectable.
And
but still use condoms because you want to avoid all the other STIs.
And one question has been, do you get on Truvada and stay on it to prevent transmission or infection? To prevent infection, because if you have HIV, Truvada is not enough. It's for the uninfected.
Right.
Or can you take it episodically?
Yeah.
And the fact is, if you are not having sex frequently, you can take Truvada a few hours before sex and until you stop having sex, a day, 3 days, a week later. And that can prevent transmission. That can be enough. And that was one of the studies that came out.
Right.
Also, we'd heard the story of the boy in South Africa born with HIV who was treated for 40 weeks when he was first born. And then they stopped the treatment. And he has been undetectable ever since. And the question, we don't know, I guess they found tiny, tiny traces in testing. So the idea is that he still has the virus buried deep somewhere, but it's a tiny little reservoir, and just the initial treatment at that age of a month or so was enough to suppress the virus this far.
Without having to take additional drugs.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
A report from UNAIDS talks about progress around the world, new infections decreasing, drugs are saving lives and preventing transmission. But there are threats from decreased funding, because if you don't keep treating people, then we're going to have a rebound in the epidemic.
And everything coming from the White House is cut, 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 cut on everything.
Yep.
But in the Labor, Health and Human Services and Education Appropriations Bill, they restored Ryan White funding to the budget. So Congress is restoring most of these funds.
Yes, although not increasing them enough. Meanwhile, where is there a problem? The Soviet Union, or Russia, I guess. The former Soviet Union, Russia, and the countries around it. New infections are up. There's not enough treatment. Not a good story. Half of the 36 million estimated people who are HIV positive worldwide are on treatment. But we need more. A half is not enough.
The United Kingdom, the government there is going to allow gay men to donate blood within 3 months of same-sex activity. Again, that's a step forward. It's not the whole thing, but
no, but that's I think it applies only to England and Scotland, and will start in early 2018. But 3 months is a lot better than a year or lifetime ban. And I want to take this moment to again recommend this coming Monday, July 31st, on POV on PBS, this documentary, Memories of a Penitent Heart, made by Cecilia Aldarondo about her late uncle, Michael. And we have the trailer from the movie. It's her investigation into his life, because everything was kept pretty secret for a long time.
Hi, is this Robert?
How are you?
I'm good. I mean, I'm a little shocked.
I've often wondered how long it would take someone to reach me.
Miguel Diepa.
Michael and I had a relationship from 75 till 87. It's a long time.
Homosexuals say AIDS victims are being discriminated against.
Our proposals to find and segregate those exposed to AIDS.
It was a family war. He had to argue with my mother all the time. She wanted to save his soul.
She wanted him dead. She was happier that he was dead than he was alive.
When he was dying, he had his arms spread out like he was crucified.
How does it feel to die? How does it feel to have your life slipped away from you and your mother?
One thing, and your lover being there on the other side.
Más nunca yo hubiera pensado en sacar una cosita que pudiera manchillar la familia. Yo no lo haría.
I'll be tuning in on Monday night for that.
Me too. I'm eager to see it. I've known about this being in the works for a long time, and I think it's going to be really important and moving and good.
Right. You may not know that, but there are LGBT community health centers in some form in 37 states. And if you would like to read a Williams Institute report on this, you can go to williamsinstitute.law.ucla.edu. All of this is in our email every week. And also, a transgender mental health survey is being conducted. So you can go to transmentalhealthsurvey.org. Transmentalhealthsurvey.org. That's also going to be in our email with more detail.
If you go to our website at gayusatv.org, one, you can always find the latest show there and previous shows and the headlines, and you can sign up for our weekly note that will give you things like links to these
more backgrounds.
Studies. Yeah.
Where to go in the theater,
yeah,
et cetera,
yeah,
and movies, et cetera. Okay, all right. And we also want to alert you to a special that Manhattan Neighborhood Network and Free Speech TV are putting together with Laura Flanders called What's at Stake? Net Neutrality. Of course, the big threat to net neutrality coming from the Trump administration. And go to freespeech.org to look for airings of this.
It's airing several times this weekend and next, I think. Our director,
right into
Rich Speciale, directed this and says it's terrific. And net neutrality is a huge, huge issue.
Yes. If you don't understand it, it's about allowing big corporations and things to get, you know, faster access to your downloading and things like that, and everybody else goes slower so that you don't pay any attention to them. This is how they take over, folks. It's like 1984.
Well, the internet is a beautiful thing, and ugly sometimes too, but access to everything on the internet equally has been a miracle. And if corporations can now step in and buy better access to us by speeding up their availability, that is going to completely change the entire system, and not for the good.
Right. Privatize it, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
Entertainment news.
Okay.
In Star Trek news, the television series is going to have its first gay romance. The movies have had that. But this is going to be Anthony Rapp, and his partner will be Wilson Cruz.
This is on the new Star Trek Discovery, starting in September on CBS All Access Streaming. Anthony announced this at Comic-Con. Coming up on August 9th on TLC, the Learning Channel at 10 p.m., Growing Up Ivanko. This is a documentary about the famous young singer Jackie Ivanko and her trans sister, Juliet.
Oh, yes, yes.
It's actually
the one who sang at the Trump inauguration.
Jackie, yes. But she's been a great activist for her sister and for LGBT rights. This is a TLC documentary about the whole family, Growing Up Ivanko, on August 9th.
Speaking of Trump, and we don't like to, but we have to, Tony Kushner is working on a play about him.
Yes, that's true. And Sue Bird of the
Seattle Storm.
Thank you. And a former star at UConn, basketball star.
That's Sue on the right there.
Yes, has come out about having a girlfriend on the left there, Megan Rapinoe, a soccer star of the U.S. women's soccer team.
Seattle Reign.
Yeah. And Sue is the one who has been closeted and scared, but she finally talked about it and was shocked that she got a good reaction from everybody.
Yeah.
Also coming out, Grayson Chance, 19 years old. I have to say, I'm not aware of this guy.
We're elderly. But he was...
he's big on the Ellen Show.
He did a career-launching performance of Lady Gaga's Paparazzi as a sixth grader. It was on Ellen. Ellen's label picked him up and that kind of stuff. But he said, I realized... He's 19 now. He said, I realized I was gay when I was 16. And, basically was inspired by other people who'd come out and felt he had a moral obligation to do it, unlike people like Kevin Spacey.
There's a movie coming out on DVD August 1st on Wolf Video, opening night. I can't recommend this as a good movie, but if you like backstage Broadway musical type things, and you can't miss a performance by Taye Diggs, Topher Grace, or Anne Heche, you might want to take a look at it opening night. July 31st is Barbara Gittings' birthday.
Barbara Gittings, lesbian pioneer extraordinaire.
Totally extraordinaire.
And one of our really founding mothers.
And her surviving partner, Kay Lahusen, is still around, watches Gay USA. Hello,
Hi, Kay.
And I recently read, I should have read much sooner, this book, Barbara Gittings, Gay Pioneer. It is fantastic. And it is full, it's written by Tracy Baim, who does the Windy City Times in Chicago, forward by Lillian Faderman. And about 9 million pictures by Kay Lahusen of their whole life together. And it is fabulous. If I can't recommend highly enough this Barbara Gittings, Gay Pioneer.
On the cover, of course. Barbara at the gatherings that they used to do at Independence Hall in Philadelphia.
Just trying to flip through and show how many pictures there are.
Among the earliest LGBT, gay rights protests.
I'm going to lend this book to Andy.
Thank you.
Because
I'm looking forward to it. Really, really terrific. I had the honor of meeting and talking to Barbara and Frank Kameny and all those early pioneers.
Love them, love them, love them. And maybe I was going to go to our movie clip.
Sure.
Unless you...
No, go ahead. A couple of things, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, we have the trailer for the new movie coming out in September, Battle of the Sexes, the story of Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs and...
tennis match.
Being portrayed by Emma Stone and Steve Carell. And this is a hot movie coming out in September. So here's
the
trailer.
Anyone else like to share? How about you in the back with the glasses, sir?
My name's Bobby, and I am an addict.
Hey, Bobby.
Hi, Bobby.
You know, you folks aren't here because you're gamblers. You are here because you are terrible gamblers.
Hey, Bobby.
These folks don't need to stop doing what they're doing. They just need to get better at it. Who's dealing?
All right, please.
Who's in?
Hello?
Eureka, Billie Jean! It's Bobby Riggs. I had a great idea. Male chauvinist pig versus hairy leg feminist.
You're still a feminist, right?
I'm a tennis player who happens to be a woman.
Don't hang up.
By the way, I shaved my legs.
Billie Jean King, already a champion of women's rights, is now the most successful female player of all time.
I am not saying that women don't belong on the court. Who would pick up the balls otherwise?
Oh, my God. There isn't a single thing I don't hate about Bobby Riggs.
You know what I'm doing? I'm cooking. I'm cooking.
I won the triple at Wimbledon.
I could beat Billie Jean King.
Does she have the nerve?
Call Bobby. Tell him it's on.
So, Billie Jean, what do you want?
Don't get me wrong. I love women in the bedroom and in the kitchen.
Keep talking, Bobby. The more nonsense you spell, the worse it's going to be when you lose.
I'm going to be the best. That way I can really change things.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to put the show back in chauvinism.
Bobby's a clown. This whole thing's an act for him.
Business, sports, you name it. At the very top, it's a man's world.
When we want a little bit of what you've got, that's what you can't stand.
40 million people are watching.
The battle you've all been waiting to see.
I'm done talking, let's go.
The battle of the sex.
About this movie, some of the press, and people expressing astonishment that this happened. And I think, I was around then.
Billie Jean refused to do it at first, and he beat Margaret Court, the famous now anti-gay activist in Australia. Ryan Murphy, by the way, is developing a new series called Pose about LGBTQ ball culture. Although some people are complaining about a white guy taking this on and, you know, whatever. And I saw a wonderful production of Arcadia, Tom Stoppard's play, at the Atlantic Theater 2. It's running through August 6th, if you can catch it.
And we hope you catch us next week. Thank you for catching us this week, and we'll see you then.
We hope the news is better.
Oh, God.
Thanks again for joining us this week, and hope you join us each and every week for Gay USA.